Chapter 2 Ideas and Inventors. Around the year 2000, a lot of people in Silicon Valley were very interested in a new invention. Steve Jobs said it was the most exciting technology since the computer. He offered the inventor $63 million to buy 10% of the company. But the inventor wasn't interested. The man behind Amazon, Jeff Bezos, told the inventor, "You have a product so revolutionary, you'll have no problem selling it." The inventor was described as a modern Thomas Edison, and he was behind a number of exciting medical inventions. He thought his new invention would have sales of 10,000 a week in its first year. But after 6 years, he had only sold 30,000, and the company still wasn't making money. The invention was expected to change lives and cities around the world, but today it is only used in a few special markets. The revolutionary product was the Segway, a machine with two wheels that carries you around. Why did so many people think it was going to be a success? Why did they get it wrong? A few years earlier, two writers wrote a 90-minute television program. They had never written for television before, and they soon found they didn't have enough material for 90 minutes, so they decided to write a weekly half-hour show. But when they sent their work to a television company, the people there either didn't like it or didn't understand it. One program was made and shown to a test audience of 100 people. The viewers didn't like it. 600 more people in four different cities watched it. The report on those test audiences said nobody in the audience wanted to watch the show again. Surprisingly, the program did make it to television, and, as expected, it wasn't successful. But one person at the television company believed in it and argued that they should try making some more shows. These were made and shown a year later, and again, they weren't popular. The television company were going to cancel the program, but agreed to do a few more shows when another program was cancelled. One of the writers almost left the show. He had no more ideas. It's a good thing he changed his mind. For the next 10 years, the program was one of the most popular on television, and it made more than $1 billion. TV Guide named it the greatest television program of all time. Why did the television companies not believe in Seinfeld? When we say there is not enough originality in the world, we think it is because there is not enough creativity. We think that if only people had more new ideas, we would be better off. But the real problem is not new ideas, it's selecting the right ideas. Our companies and countries have many people with new ideas. What they don't have are people who can choose the right new ideas. Segway was a false positive. People thought it would be a success, but it wasn't. Seinfeld was a false negative. People expected it to fail, but it succeeded. This chapter is about selecting the right ideas. We'll look at two people who did expect the Segway to fail, and at the one person in the television company who believed in Seinfeld. We'll see how these people made the right decisions and how we can become better at choosing the right ideas. Judging creativity. The inventor of the Segway was a brilliant man called Dean Kamen. He had started inventing when he was 16, and some of his inventions were very successful. In the 1990s, he designed the iBot, a wheelchair that could climb stairs. He realized that the technology of the iBot could be used more widely, and he put together a team to design the Segway. He wanted something that would be safe, friendly for the environment, and would help people to move around busy cities. Because it was small, light, and easy to ride, it would be great for mail carriers, police officers, and golfers. But it could also change the way everybody travelled. The Segway was the most amazing technology he had ever created. Cayman thought it would replace the car, in the same way that the car had replaced the horse. But inventors are not the best people to judge their own inventions. Studies show that most of us are bad at judging ourselves. For example, 70% of high school seniors think they are above average leaders. 2% think they are below average. 94% of college professors think their work is above average. In two different companies, 32% and 42% of engineers estimated they were in the top 5% in their work. When we have developed an idea, we are usually too close to it to judge it accurately. In music, many experts think Beethoven was a good critic of his own music. But Beethoven's own favourite pieces have not been the ones played most. Aaron Cosbelt looked at letters where Beethoven judged 70 of his works and compared Beethoven's estimates with those of other experts. Of those 70 works, Beethoven estimated 15 false positives, works that he thought were important but that are not, and 8 false negatives, works that he thought unsuccessful but that are now judged very highly. That's 33% wrong, even though Beethoven was judging his work after audiences had heard and judged it. Kissing frogs. If originals are not good at judging their own work, how do they create great products? They have a lot of ideas. Dean Simonton has looked at many really successful creators and discovered that they didn't have better ideas than others, they had more. By producing more ideas, they had a better chance of originality. Think about William Shakespeare. In 20 years, he wrote 37 plays and 154 poems. In order to judge how popular they were, Simonton looked at how often the plays were performed. 3 of Shakespeare's 5 most popular plays, Macbeth, King Lear, and Othello, were written in the same 5 years that he wrote Timon of Athens and All's Well That Ends Well, which many people feel are among the worst of his plays. Pablo Picasso produced more than 1,800 paintings, 12,000 drawings, and thousands of other works, but only a small number of these are widely admired. Albert Einstein published 248 papers over his life, but most of them are not considered important. We know Maya Angelou's poem, Still I Rise, and her book, I Know Why the Caged Bird Sings, but we forget about her other 165 poems and 6 books. If you want to be original, the most important possible thing you could do, says Ira Glass, is do a lot of work. Many people think that if you want to do better work, you should do less and spend time on delivering high-quality work. But having a lot of ideas is the best way to get to quality. Original thinkers will have many ideas that are of no use, but because they develop so many ideas, it is more likely some of them will be successful. When he was developing the Segway, Dean Kamen knew it was important to explore as many ideas as possible. "You've got to kiss a lot of frogs," he would say to his team, "before you find a prince." He encouraged them to look at hundreds of different ways of solving the problems they met. The problem was that he decided to develop the Segway without knowing whether, in the end, it would be a frog or a prince. One of the best ways of judging our ideas is to get feedback. One of the writers of The Daily Show, Liz Winstead, still doesn't know, after years of working on the comedy program, what will make people laugh. In the past, she would try jokes out on stage to an audience. Some jokes made people laugh, some didn't. Now, with social media, she can get feedback more quickly. When she thinks of a joke, she shares it on Twitter. When she has something longer to share, she uses Facebook. At the end of the day, the feedback tells her whether an idea is worth developing or not. When developing the Segway, Dean Kamen didn't look for feedback. He was afraid that somebody would steal his idea, so he kept the program secret. Many of his own employees weren't allowed to see the Segway while it was being developed. So the team working on the Segway developed a huge number of ideas, but they didn't get any feedback from customers. No customers saw it when it was being developed. But Kamen and his team weren't the only people who were enthusiastic about the Segway. Why did Steve Jobs and Jeff Bezos make the same mistake? To find the answer to that question, let's first look at why so many people were wrong about Seinfeld. The danger of false negatives. When the television company first looked at Seinfeld, they didn't know what to do with it. It wasn't like other television programs. They didn't want to take a risk on something new like this. It would be better to develop a safe idea than take a risk on this new one. This way of thinking produces false negatives. The false negative is something that happens often in the media. Film companies rejected movies like Star Wars, E.T., and Pulp Fiction. Publishers refused books like The Diary of Anne Frank, Gone with the Wind, and Harry Potter. By 2015, J.K. Rowling's Harry Potter books had brought in over $25 billion and sold more copies than any book series ever. And in business, there are hundreds of examples where employees were ordered to stop work on projects that were later successful. The Xbox was almost stopped by Microsoft, and the laser printer was nearly cancelled by Xerox because it was too expensive. When we see something unusual, we often refuse it and look for reasons why it may fail. When managers see something new, they compare it to things that were successful in the past. So, some publishers thought Harry Potter was too long for a children's book, and television company managers thought Seinfeld was too much about New York to be of interest to the rest of the country. Test audiences are no better than managers at judging new television shows. They make the same mistakes. When you watch a show at home, in your living room, you get interested in the story. If you laugh a lot, at the end you will think it was funny. But in a test audience, you don't watch in the same way. You know you are there to judge it, and so you compare it with shows you know are funny. Neither test audiences nor managers are a good way of deciding whether a show is funny or not. Wide experience and deep experience. When the test audiences were negative about Seinfeld, the project nearly stopped. But one man, Rick Ludwin believed in it. Rick Ludwin worked on special programs, not comedy, so Seinfeld wasn't his department. But because his experience was in a different type of television, he felt differently about the project. Most comedy programs before Seinfeld had a few complete stories with endings inside 22 minutes of television. Seinfeld started a lot more stories, but sometimes didn't finish them. That worried most television managers, but Ludwin worked on specials where each program is organized in its own way. Ludwin had written jokes for Bob Hope in the 1970s and had worked on comedies in the past. Because Ludwin had some experience of comedy, he understood how it worked. And although he hadn't worked in comedy for many years, he had a wide experience of television, and he was happy to explore new ways of making people laugh. He combined a wide experience of television outside of comedy with a deep experience of comedy from his days writing jokes. And combining wide and deep experience is very important for creativity. A recent study looked at every Nobel Prize-winning scientist from 1901 to 2005 and compared them with other scientists who had not won Nobel Prizes. Both groups knew their science well. They had deep experience. But the Nobel Prize winners were more likely to be doing other artistic things as well. Here's what the 15 researchers at Michigan State University found when they compared the Nobel Prize winners with the other scientists. Artistic activity. Nobel Prize winners compared to other scientists. Music. 2 times more likely. Drawing, painting, etc. 7 times more likely. Wood or metal working, mechanics, electronics, etc. 7.5 times more likely. Writing, poems, plays, novels, etc. 12 times more likely. Performing, acting, dancing, etc. 22 times more likely. A study of thousands of Americans showed similar results for entrepreneurs and inventors. These people were more likely than others to take part in activities like drawing, painting, or writing. In a study of the fashion industry, a team of researchers led by Frédéric Godard looked at the cultural experience of fashion designers. The most creative work came from designers who had worked in foreign countries. But Godard found 3 especially interesting things about this experience. Firstly, living in a foreign country didn't help creativity. It was working there that was important. The most original work came from designers who had worked in 2 or 3 different countries. Secondly, the more foreign the country, the better. For an American, working in Canada didn't help a lot. Working in Korea or Japan helped more with originality. Thirdly, the experience was better if it was deep. A few weeks wasn't useful. The most creative designers had spent 35 years working in other countries. Where Steve Jobs went wrong. When Steve Jobs first got on a Segway, he refused to climb off. When Dean Kamen wanted other investors to try it, Jobs let them, but soon got back on again. He invited Kamen to dinner and told him his Segway was as original as the computer and he wanted to be involved. Steve Jobs was famous for making decisions through intuition rather than investigating carefully. Why did he get it wrong this time? There were 3 main reasons. He didn't have experience of this area of business. he felt too confident because of his success in other areas of business, and he was very enthusiastic. Let's start with experience. Jobs and the other early investors in Segway, like Jeff Bezos, knew nothing about transportation. They were originals in their area, but that did not make them good in other areas. Intuition can be helpful, but it works best when we have experience of what we are looking at. The Segway was a brilliant machine, and it was huge fun to ride it. But it was difficult for people with no transportation experience to judge it. One man who did understand the problems with Segway was Randy Komisar. He looked at the transportation market and realized that the Segway wasn't going to replace the car. It would replace walking or cycling. But he didn't think it was a product many people would want. It was exciting to ride, but it was a lot of money to pay for something that replaced walking. And at that time, nobody knew whether governments would allow it on sidewalks. Komisar thought there would be a market in mail or police services or for golfers. But Jobs still thought that Segway was too exciting to fail. Jobs' next problem was that he had been very successful in one area of business, so he thought he understood all areas of business. The more successful people are in the past, the worse they perform when they work in a new area. He was so sure his intuition was right that he didn't check his intuition with people who understood transportation. When Kamen talked with investors like Jobs about Segway, he spoke about countries like China and India, which were building cities the size of New York every year. These cities would be full of cars, and that would be really bad for the environment. He was enthusiastic, and the investors liked that enthusiasm. When we look at a new idea, the enthusiasm of the inventor can make a big difference. Enthusiasm is important for inventors, but entrepreneurs need to be more careful. Thoughts on selecting ideas. My failure to invest in Warby Parker was a big false negative. I had never owned glasses, so it was hard for me to think about people who did. I had deep experience of glasses. I had spent 2 years doing research in a company that made and sold glasses through stores. But I didn't have wide experience. 3 of the 4 men behind Warby Parker wore glasses, and the fourth, Neil Blumenthal, had worked for 5 years in Asia, Africa, and Latin America, helping women to start businesses. One of the businesses he helped with was selling glasses, so he knew that glasses could be made much more cheaply than people think. The Warby Parker entrepreneurs were also careful to get everybody in the company involved in development. Nothing was secret, and ideas were shared on a Google document where everybody in the company could read them. And people could give feedback on new ideas as they appeared. If Segway had done the same as Warby Parker, they may have avoided some of their problems. But Kamen is still a great inventor, especially in the area of healthcare. As an inventor, he should be having the great ideas, but then sharing them with others and getting feedback on which inventions are the most useful. In 2013, 300,000 patents were taken out in the United States. The chances that any of these inventions will change the world are tiny. One creative inventor with lots of inventions has a better chance that one invention over his or her whole life will make a difference. And when we judge these inventors, we don't look at their least successful ones, we look at the best.